Praise the Lord. Okay, it's Father's Day, so I want to celebrate the dads. I want to say well done to all the dads. You're doing a great job. You're a good father. You come on. You're not just paying the bills. You're being a godly example. The fact that you're here this morning at Chesapeake, at Seaboard, all the online viewers. I know I got a friend who watches every Sunday. He's in our military. He got transferred to San Diego. And he says to me, I was just there in San Diego. Sharon and I just got back from, where'd we go? We went to Denmark, and we spoke at a Wave Europe pastor's getaway, and then spoke for Scott and Linda Wilson, the church that Linda pastors in Aarhus, one of the best cities in all of Europe, by the way. And then from there, we came home for the weekend, and we flew out to, where did I go? San Diego. I spoke at the Christian City Church National Pastors Conference all this week. It was amazing. Phil Pringle's the leader of that movement, over 500 churches. And they asked, not just Steve Kelly, not just me, but because of what God's doing here at Wave, and if I'm a preacher that can help anybody, it's because I've learned from you, and we've learned together, and we've grown together, and we're doing great things together, and they want what God is doing here in their life and in their conference. So that was amazing. Now pray for me, because tomorrow I'm actually in Arizona and I'm speaking, and we're involved. Shannon and I are executive directors of Integrity Leadership Ministries. It's just been a busy season this week, next week, and the last 2 weeks we've been traveling. And so ILM represents not a lot of churches, but it represents on a given Sunday morning 600,000 to 700,000 people Sunday morning in church. And we'll be there this week with some of those pastors and leaders. So would you pray for us? Amen. Praise the Lord. God keeps us fresh and strong and vibrant. To be honest with you, I'm getting a little tired of airplanes at the moment. I got to check my attitude. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. United Airlines, I love you. Amen. John chapter 14. Let's go there together. Are you ready? John, everybody say John 14. Here's a couple of scriptures. I want to celebrate dads. I want to empower dads. And it says, in my Father's house, he has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so you may also be where I am. So here's Jesus saying, listen to what he's saying. I want you to catch it now. Catch it. Praise the Lord. I just got a little stage manager handboard. Said, put down your microphone. Praise the Lord. So I've switched. Are we good? Praise God. This girl really tells us what to do, honestly. I think we should just give you the service from now on, because she's amazing. And give her a hand. She's just amazing. Jesus is basically saying, my Father's house is bigger than your house. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. Hey, I got a dad in heaven, what Jesus is saying, and he's got a big house. And there's room for you, and there's room for you, and there's room for everybody. And really what he's talking about is heaven. By the way, we will spend a whole lot more time in heaven than we'll ever spend here on earth. I was talking to a dear friend of mine. He's part of the ILM group, and his name's Rob Koch. And he lost his son at the age of, I think he was about 18 years of age. And his son was driving home, dropping off a whole bunch of friends, was driving home. And it was late at night, and he fell asleep behind the wheel, and he was tragically killed. And I was talking to this friend of mine, saying, man, how you doing? He goes, Steve, never has heaven become more real to me than it has right now. Just the reality of what is heaven. And he goes, and one of the things I realize as a pastor, he goes, is we spend all of our life helping people deal with earthly life, which we need to help people deal with earthly life. But ultimately, if we're thinking about priorities and about where we're spending a whole lot more time, it's more in heaven and eternity than we ever were. Our life is but a vapor. It's just but a mist. It's just we're here one day, and God, in perspective of eternity. Come on. So I wonder how much we think about eternity. I wonder how much we think about heaven. I wonder how much of our daily decisions we make are made in light of, will this go on for eternity? Come on. Come on. Someone say amen. I wonder how well do we know our Father? And so listen to what the Bible says. It says in 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6, it says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things, and this is, from which we exist. We, it says, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through all things We exist. Here is a scripture that says that we have a heavenly Father and we exist because of Him. And everything that does exist, exists through Him and because of Him. We have one heavenly Father. I wonder how much we think about our Father. I wonder how much we think about when I say Father, God, that how much of that comes into your perspective about your own dad. And maybe some people, your dad wasn't the best experience. And maybe when we talk about Father God, your thoughts are not necessarily your thought of Father in heaven has been so colored by the father you've had on earth that it's almost like you don't even want to know that father in heaven because of a bad example you've had here on earth. I know plenty of people who struggle with those challenges. Let me show you what it says. Matthew 23 verse 9. And call no man your father upon the earth, for no one is your father except that which is in heaven. For there is one Father, and He is in heaven. So the Bible says, don't call anyone father. Now the Bible's not saying that you should disrespect or dishonor your father or mother. Are you understand what I'm saying here? Because one of the commandments is honor your mother and father and you'll live wrong. But what it's trying to do, listen to this, is give you an eternal perspective about ultimately your Father in heaven, God, compared to any natural father you have here on this earth, is more real, more solid, more in control of your life than any natural father you have here on the earth. That He ought to be more real to you than the reality of your very own flesh and blood father. Amen? So in terms of understanding, you've got an earthly father, but he's your father on earth, but you have a father in heaven who knows you more, who plans you more, who's in your future more. Come on, somebody say amen. Listen, maybe you didn't have a father. The Bible says in Psalm 68 verse 5, He is a father to the fatherless, a judge of the widows, God in His holy habitation. He's a father to the fatherless. So I want to say to you that when you actually don't even know who your father is, it doesn't, in one sense, God is a father to the fatherless. You may not even know your father's name. I know this guy in New York City. His name's Reverend Al Bernard. He's actually a friend, and he pastors probably the most influential church in the whole city of New York. And he is the product of, I got the story right, and I'm sure I do, he is the product of a rape. And his mother was deciding, would she have an abortion? Would she adopt the child? But the mother decided to give up her Olympic career, of which she was an Olympian, and actually decided she would have this child, miss out on going to the Olympics, and raise this child as a result of a rape. And actually today, that man, Reverend Al Bernard, has more influence in government in the city of New York and around the nation than any minister I know. He's an amazing man of God who was actually, let me tell you, he's a father to the fatherless. God can raise you up, even if your natural father, you don't know who he is. Can I tell you, when you understand that God is your father, he's in your future, he's in your past, he's in your present. Come on, that's worth giving God praise. I can hear Chesapeake saying amen. But look what the Bible says in James 1:17. This is for Seaboard. Watch this. It says, every good gift and every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from where? The Father of lights, in whom there's no variables, neither is there shadow of turning. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 15. Even if you've got 10,000 guardians in Christ, it says, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, watch what Paul says, I became your father through the gospel. Listen what Paul says. Hey, here's a switch. Here's something new in the New Testament. Something we're really not all that familiar with in the Old Testament. But in God, in setting up the New Testament church, has set up a whole new way of doing things. Are you hearing me? And what he's doing is Paul says, hey, you've got guardians. You've got 10,000 guardians, people who would love to try and help you, people who try and, you know, look out for you, but you don't have many dads. He goes, but I became your father. Listen to this, through the gospel. In other words, you are my sons. I led you to a faith in Christ. And as a result of that, I became your spiritual father. I became that person of love. Maybe your natural father wasn't the best godly example, but in Christ, I became a spiritual dad to you. And when you are looking for a role model to be a man of God, when you are looking for an example about making godly decisions, maybe your own father didn't understand how to do that. But through the gospel, I became that. And when you were trying to figure out what a man of God looks like, I said to you, copy me. Watch me. Follow my example. Do what I do. Come on, dads, I want to tell you, that's who God's called us to be. Spiritual fathers. And it's through the gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. By the way, all the single moms, I want to say to you, one of the most powerful things you can do is understand the power of church. And we can help you raise your children. You don't need to feel vulnerable. You don't need to feel that there's less. You don't feel like there's a disadvantage in you being single. I don't want you to feel like I just got to get a man in my life. You got to get the right man. You got to get a godly man. And don't sell yourself short, because I believe the church and I in our military with families, I want to say that, you know, maybe in a situation where the wife is at home with the kids and the husband gets deployed, and I understand that also happens the other way around, but I'm putting it in the context of a Father's Day message, so allow me to talk like this, that we become your family, we become your, we, when your dad's away, when the husband's away, that the church is covering you, that we as pastors are covering you. That's what Paul's talking about here. Thank God for the church. Yeah. Amen. I love it. And so, look, I want to give you a few thoughts here real quick. Number one, everybody say number one. Oh, you're very quiet this morning. Come on, say number one. Say like you're anticipating something good from God. It says, we have, this is my first thought, we all have a father on earth. Well, that's true, isn't it? Whether you do or don't know them is not the point. We all have one. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. Amen. But your heavenly Father has purposed you. Amen. I want to show you a scripture the Lord gave me. It says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Come here, check this out. You're going to like this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Here's what God's saying to Jeremiah. Catch it. Before I formed you, before you were even a twinkle in your father's eye, before your dad ever got it on with your mom, I already had a plan. Before you were in your mother's womb, before that moment, before that interaction, I planned you. So don't tell me you're a mistake. God does not have mistakes. God formed you. Come on. Maybe you're a child out of wedlock and you've been called illegitimate. Nothing could be further from the truth. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew your name. He knew your address. He planned your future. He fashioned you. He ordained you. And it doesn't matter what's happened in your earthly life. There's a kingdom, eternal life. God has a plan. Come on. You don't understand. I got father issues. Don't we all? Come on, somebody say amen. I love this. You see, you may not have even known who your natural father was, but your heavenly father knows you, and you are not a mistake. Here's the second thing I want to say to you today on Father's Day. Listen to this one. Write this down. Everybody got pen and paper? Write this down. Do we still take notes in church? Your chances of remembering what was said goes up 80% if you write it down. Unless you're Joe Monaco. Joe Monaco, he's got the memory of an elephant. He can, if he writes down, it actually interrupts his thought process. That is not me. That is not my problem. Anybody else here? That's not your problem. Hey, I've discovered something. Who's got a bad memory? Anybody got a bad memory? I got a terrible memory. I'm shocking. But I always say to people, I never forget anything I remember. Write that down. That's deep, okay? Okay, that's not the point, though. You ready for it? Listen. Listen to this. We are male by birth, but man by choice. Everybody that's a male was born a male, although that gets confusing in today's world. Amen. But anybody who's male is born a male. Think about it. And if we were born a male and God knew us before we were born, then God did not make a mistake in how he predestined us. Come on, somebody say amen. God's not confused. You might be, but God's not. And all you have to do is just come to the Father and he'll help you understand what your purpose is and help you deal with the delusion of this world trying to confuse ourselves in a very gender-confused world. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm preaching better than you're listening right now. That's a word for today in this generation. If there's ever a word, that's a word. You are male by birth, but I want you to catch this, but you're a man by choice. You're born a male, but it takes a decision to become a man. Listen to what Paul said. Paul put it this way. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childhood behind me. You may not have always had the best example of a good dad or what it is to have a godly dad, but can I tell you, one of the things that I believe God does is through the church provide that example. I believe that with all my heart. Matter of fact, if I've learned, people say, and people say nice things, and I hope, you know, some of it's true, but people say, you know, Steve, you're a great dad. I'd like to think I've been a good dad. You hear me? I'd like to think I've given my kids a good example. Not perfect. I've sure made my mistakes. People say, you're a great husband. Well, I'd like to think I've been a good husband. You hear me here? Not perfect. Get to know me. You'll know I've got weaknesses just like you do. Amen? And we're all dealing with our lives and wanting to make sure that we live better lives. People might say, Steve, you're a good preacher. And I might be that. I don't know. I guess you're here, so that helps to help encourage me that you're here today. And we now have 8 campuses, and God's blessing us. Amen. People from all over the world come to hear what God's doing, and people invite us. And if I've become a great preacher, it's because of you. Because all I've done is watch people, and that is you, and study you, and then try to find answers from Scripture to help you deal with the complexities of the life in which we live. So if I'm anything today, it's what you've made me. Thank you. If I've learned anything about church, about leadership, I've actually learned it by being in the church. If I learned anything about business, which I have learned some things about business, I've learned it by being part of the church. If I've learned anything about management and vision casting, one of the greatest compliments I've ever got in my life, in my Christian life, came from this man, Toby Harris. He goes, you taught me how to be a visionary. He goes, I love how you have vision. He goes, you've given me that. And to me, it actually has pulled out of me teaching and truths that actually I've been able to articulate and help other pastors and other churches with as a result of that. Well, where did I learn that from? The church. Thank God for the church. And how do we learn how to become a man? Is by being part of the church. Amen. That's why I want to say again to the single moms, listen to me, my heart is for you. Don't get vulnerable and desperate and feel like you got to settle for Johnny come lately. You look to God, and God will provide that man for you in the house of God. You don't have to go looking out there in a bar or in a club. You can find God's, God will create the right person for you. I'm preaching better than you're listening. Amen. Here's the third thing I want to say, and this one's huge. I want you to hear this. We all need spiritual fathers, not just natural fathers. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2, and look what it says here about Elisha. Elisha was not the son of Elijah, but he was a son of Elijah in the spirit. And it says here in chapter 2, verse 12 of 2 Kings, Elisha saw Elijah, and he cried out, my father, my father. Now, we know he wasn't his father, but Elisha saw the spiritual fatherhood of Elijah and allowed himself to come under the influence of Elijah. And when Elijah was being taken to heaven, Elisha cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. And then he took a hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. So here's what I want to say. Watch this now. You don't choose your natural father. Did you hear me? You don't choose your natural father. You don't. It's chosen for you. Okay? You don't choose who to whom you were born. You didn't choose to be born here in the United States if you were born here in the United States. You didn't choose whether it be African-American, white, Caucasian, Filipino, Spanish. You with me here? You don't choose that. I actually believe God had a hand in it. Are you hearing me? But actually, you don't choose who your mother and father will be. Like, some people come from wealthy backgrounds, some people come from poor backgrounds. You didn't choose that. You with me here? But you can choose your spiritual dad. You didn't choose the family you'd be born in, but you can choose who becomes your spiritual dad. That's a decision you make. Amen? And so you don't choose the family you're born into, but you can choose the family you worship in. Come on, anybody catching this? So you do have some choices that you can make. And Paul said, when I was a child, thought like a child, spoke like a child, reasoned like a child, but I became a man. And I put away childish things. And Paul says, I understand you've got 10,000 guardians, but you don't have many fathers. But I became your father through the gospel. And thank God for the church, because the church creates and provides for us a family and a role model of what fatherhood and spiritual fatherhood looks like. Amen? Are you catching this? Some of us, we don't understand this. We kind of feel like, well, it's all me. I just make my own decisions. And the truth is, it is all you. You do all make your own decisions. But if you're smart, you'll make good decisions and identify a spiritual dad that'll help give leadership and wisdom and influence and perspective into your life that help. And everything I've learned have been by the example that's been given to me in the church. Anybody catching this? So if I were the devil, I would do everything I can to get people out of that connection. Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, in keeping the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Now, Timothy was not his son in the natural. But Paul, listen to this, was the spiritual father of Timothy in the spiritual. He says, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen to what he said to Titus, another man. He says, to Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from our God and Father, from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What you got to be careful of is beware of an agenda-driven, manipulating false father. Come on, somebody say amen. Seeking to control you, wanting to separate you from others, and only they have the truth. Are you hearing me? So I want you to catch it. Here's the thought. We all have fathers, but we also need spiritual fathers. In my life, I've had a couple. There was a guy called Pastor Gordon Gibbs. This man moved in the miraculous like nobody I knew. He has literally seen people raised from the dead. I saw him pray for a lady who'd been in a wheelchair for 18 years. 18 years. Not a lady in a wheelchair, like, you know, sometimes you go to the airport and sometimes, you know, you see people in wheelchairs because they have genuine need of them. But then when they get to the gate, you see them stand up and they fragilely make their way to their seat. I'm talking a lady who literally would have had to have been picked up and carried. She was paralyzed. And Pastor Gordon Gibbs prayed for her and she literally got healed. And a lady that I knew personally who was paralyzed, and God healed her in Jesus' name. I saw, anybody believe for those sorts of miracles today? I still do. Amen. I saw Pastor Gordon Gibbs pray for a young man, baptize a young man who had the letters H-A-T-E across his hand, hate. And literally, when Pastor Gordon Gibbs baptized this young man, when he came up out of the waters of baptism, the tattoo literally disappeared. Talk about tattoo removal. God just went, no longer hate will be part of your life. I thank God for that great spiritual dad. I believe in the miraculous. I believe, this is a season of miracles. I don't feel like you're catching that. I mean, I'm prophesying to you. I don't feel like you're catching it like I'm saying it. This is a season for you for miracles. Unprecedented favor. Doors that have been closed are opening. Heaven is open. Come on, we got to catch this in the spirit, man. It'll never happen if you don't. Amen. Oh, I still don't feel like I've downloaded it. How I feel like we need to get it. Praise God. I believe for it. I'm going to keep saying it. Mark Hopkins, we're looking forward to tonight. Believing God. This guy, he mentored under the same man. And then another guy called Pastor Frank Houston. Literally unprecedented miracles. Do you know what happened one time? One time in church back in Sydney. Do you know this is a true story? Pastor Frank Houston was away on vacation. And he rang the church, as I've been known to do on occasion, and just missing church and wants to call in just to say hi. And as he's calling in, the Holy Spirit gave him a word of knowledge. And Pastor Frank Houston said, somebody, this is back in the days before banks, you could deposit the weekend's offering. Pastor Frank Houston goes, the Lord just gave me a word of knowledge. Somebody just robbed our safe. And they took the offering. The church took the offering and put the offering in a room. And he goes, somebody just broke into the office and stole all the offering money. And he goes, matter of fact, that man is still in the service. He's on the third row wearing a white shirt. Have him come forward and repent. And the guy came forward with the bag and all the money. And then Pastor Frank said, now call the police and have him arrested. Miracles! I learned how to believe God for miracles by being in the church. I've had great spiritual dads. Another guy used to always challenge me to pray and read the word more. In leadership, spiritual dads, like people like Brian Houston, who've taught me things about miracles. And leadership. Come on, we need the church. We need that influence. We need that breakthrough. That's what the Bible says. There are spiritual fathers. Is this helping anybody? And God wants to bring these people into your life. You just got to have wisdom. Okay, here's the last one. My time's up. It says, and I want to give this to you. Sing musicians, come on back because my time is up. But I want to read this to you because I want to help the dads today. I want to celebrate the dads. Think, here's a great dad right here. Robert Cameron. He'll be the first to tell you that if he could do life over again, he'd do things differently, and some things differently. But let me tell you, he's a good dad in Jesus' name. He's a great dad. And I've watched this man just love his family through the high tides and the low tides. I got to tell you something. I want to encourage the dads today. See, we'd be the first to tell you all the things that we could have done better. But today is the day to celebrate you. Shame off you. Come on, you need to know, you're doing a good job. This is what dads do, if my iPad will get it together. Dads mentor their kids. Dads have compassion. Now, dads have compassion different than mums do. Isn't that true? I mean, for instance, just yesterday we were babysitting our grandson, Jax. And Jax was outside and he fell probably about 2 feet off a little brick wall. And when he fell, his chest got cut. He didn't have a shirt on. That wasn't my fault. That was Sharon's. And I forget what happened. He just got out of bed and I went out to the car and I said, honey, can you watch him? And because I was carrying stuff in. And as he was walking across this little brick wall, he fell and scratched on the bricks his chest. It was like a nasty little scratch. And of course, how many know women? They go, oh, Jax, and he was cut. He was scratched. And you know, Jax is crying and Sharon's doing what any woman would do, any mum would do, any grandmother would do. And she's kissing him all better, the boo-boo. And we're kissing it better in the naughty brick wall and whack the brick wall. And do you know what I mean? And then, you know, I came in and he's crying. And I said, oh, Jack, and we put Neosporin on it. And we put a little Band-Aid on it, even though the scratch was 6 inches long. But I got in trouble for being so thoughtless. Why would you put a Band-Aid on it? Now we got to take the Band-Aid off and it's going to hurt. I'm thinking, I can't win. You with me? My compassion is different. And so, but then I got Jax and Jax is still crying. I said, Jax, look at me, buddy. It's what boys do, buddy. And he looked at me and goes, it's what boys do? I said, it's what boys do. Okay, Skipper, it's what boys do. And it brought me back to the time when I had Josh and Sam and we had a motorcycle, a little 50cc motorcycle out here where the barn used to be. There used to be grass out there. Not anymore, it's parking. But there used to be grass out there. And we had this ramp that we built that was about, I'm not kidding, it was about this tall. And Josh and Sam on their 50cc when they were very young. And I was teaching them ride the motorcycle. And finally I got them to get the courage to jump on the ramp. And I was trying to teach them that when you go up, you got to make sure that when you hold the bike up, you don't let the front wheel go down or you'll tumble over it. And it'll land on you. So you got to lean back and hold that front wheel up and land on the back wheel. And of course, they'd never done it before. They were doing little jumps. And as we were building to it, I went, let's go for the big one. And I think it was you, Sam. Was it you or Josh? I can't remember. They're both saying it was each other. But one of them who won't admit to it, they went up that ramp. It was awesome. And they were looking at me going, yeah. And I'm thinking, don't look at me. Look where you're going. And sure enough, they landed badly. They fell over. And instantly, how many know? I'm freaking out. I'm going, oh God, I hope they don't break something. But I knew that the first thing he would do was look at me for my response. And I knew if I freaked out, they'd freak out. So I just went, yeah! And And I'm pretty sure it was you, Sim, because you just went, yeah. And here's the first thing I said, boys, this is one of those secrets we don't tell mum until much later in life. Praise the Lord. Come on, Dad, well done. You're teaching your kids. Come on, someone say amen. Dads are the head of the house. I know we're in a very role model confused generation, but how many believe the dads are the head of the house? They don't dominate. They just give leadership. Dads lead the family. Dads build confidence into the wife and to the kids. That's what you do. Dads are life givers. Amen. Dads provide. Dads teach integrity. Dads bring fun and laughter. Dads bring discipline and correction into the home. Come on. Dads bring unity. When you hear maybe your son and your daughter having a fight, you teach them to get on. And when you're teaching them how to get on, you're preparing them for life. Amen. You teach them to honor their father, to honor their mother. You teach them to honor teachers. You don't get involved in the negativity and the criticism and the gossip, but you teach them unity. You teach them, come on, be bigger than that. Be better than that. Come on, don't be carrying the offenses of yesterday and drag them into today, because it's going to slow you down into your future. Get over the offense. Get over the wrong. Come on, we want to bring unity. We want to bring blessing. That's what dads do. Come on, somebody. Praise God. Dads, listen to this. Impress on their children the value of the Word of God. The Bible talks about in Deuteronomy that dads, what you're supposed to do is when you walk with your child, when you have a meal with your child, when you lay down with your child, whenever you spend time. And by the way, you never stop being a dad, do you? Like, here's my son. He's, how old are you now, Josh? 26 years old. And like, I'll never not be his dad. Now, the role I have, I can't tell him what to do anymore because he's a grown man. And besides, he'd never listen to me anyway. The only influence I have over him today is what he gives me. Except, of course, I still happen to be his boss, which is handy sometimes. Praise the Lord. And even that's kind of situational. But the bottom line is, I'll never stop being his dad. He'll always be my son. And everything I can to impress on, and now my grandson, anything I can do. When I'm, oh man, you got no idea, I got two granddaughters coming. And I'm going to see to it they know Jesus. I'm going to see to it I impress on them the importance of the Word of God, the importance of church, the value of being in God's house, to hear the Word. You need to know, I need the church as much as you. Did you hear me? I need it. I need to know how to stay the course. I need to know. Come on, are you hearing me? Impress on your kids these things so they'll never forget them. We can impress on our kids a lot of things, but the greatest thing you can impress on your kid, Dad, is your love for God and your love for God's house, and that they have a future and their Heavenly Father knows them, in Jesus' name. I've never cared what my kids did, never. Never cared what they did. I didn't want them to have to feel like they had to fit into the mold of being working in church just because I was. Isn't that hilarious now? All three of them work on team. How many thank God for that example at least? Amen. Nothing wrong with being born on third base as long as you can hit a triple. Nothing wrong with putting somebody in an opportunity to do something great for God, but not out of a sense of entitlement. But how many know this guy can hit a triple? How many know this guy can hit a triple? Come on. Dads, can I tell you? Come on, can I tell you something? We celebrate you today. We honor you. You're a good man. You're doing a good job. Happy Father's Day. Give all the dads one more hand. Amen.